galaxy, the Clone Wars spread.
Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network's Look Back at the Clone Wars micro-series.
Against this threat, upon the Jedi Knights falls the duty to lead the newly formed Army of the Republic.
While the full-length Clone Wars show is on summer hiatus, come back to RepublicForces.com this summer and join Dan, Jen, Jerry, Barrett, and Nathan as they look back at all 25 episodes of the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars series that aired from 2005 through 2008.
You have been selected for this task because you are the best, the elite. You all know what to do.
In these matters, trust your insight, we do. May the Force be with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Republic Forces Radio Network. Our own master, Collect-em-all, along with a few others, traveled to the... Well, it's not really traveling for you, is it, Barrett? You live in California. It's not very far, is it?
No, I live about 45 minutes away from downtown San Diego, so it's not too much traveling for me.
Oh, that makes it real easy.
Yeah.
But you did get to go to Comic-Con over this weekend, and you attended, with the spirit of all of the rest of us from RFRN, you attended the panels dealing with the forthcoming season 4 of Clone Wars, the
Yes, I did. The preview, season 4 preview, Clone Wars, and the rendering panel. The infamous rendering panel.
Where they tell you all about how to make water.
How to make water. Well, this time, they told us about how they faked it. How that making the water was too much work. So now they got around to techniques to where now they can fake it like it's water. But they did have some interesting things to talk about the rendering coming up in season 4, which I thought was very interesting. I mean, they only went a little bit into the water and how they fake it. And then they went into some other things, which we'll talk about.
All right. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and kick it off with the big stuff. The previews of season 4 and some of the questions that were asked about things that happened in season 3 and things that would be forthcoming.
So the season 4 panel was packed. The season 4 panel was on a Thursday, actually. And it wasn't on a Friday. It was on a Thursday. And Filoni actually mentioned in the panel that, you know, he was kind of weary that it was on a Thursday, but he really appreciated all of us being in there. And it was packed. It was packed. He showed us a lot of clips, and he gave us a lot of answers. A lot of answers that I know our listeners wanted to know. So, where do we start? He said that season 4 is going to be called Battle Lines. And with battle lines comes a lot of explosions, and that's how he explained it, almost verbatim. We saw a few clips. I think we saw most of the clips that were on StarWars.com. They showed, which was the underwater battle with the Mon Calamari and the Karan, and the awesome shark creature that bites off a few of the Mon Calamari's heads. That shark creature, he did say, is the creature is a new species made especially for this Clone Wars, and they're called Carcadons. And that particularly shark Carcadon, his name is Riff Tamsin. Riff Tamsin. So that was pretty cool that he let us know about that.
The big question that everybody, of course, wants to know, did Dave Filoni confirm that our favorite Mon Cal is going to be showing up in those episodes?
Yes, Dave Filoni, this is what Dave Filoni confirmed. He confirmed that the first three episodes are going to be underwater episodes. Okay? The battle, the preview that we saw, the clip of the Mon Calamari's and the Quarren fighting, is going to be the first three episodes are going to be underwater fighting. And Mr. Filoni, after he showed the clip, did confirm that that is Captain Ackbar. And the crowd went wild in that panel when he said that that was Captain Ackbar. And he also said, you know, I want to tell you this. He said he made a joke. They said it was Captain Ackbar, and he said that they wanted to film a scene where Captain Ackbar and Anakin are talking. And Ackbar says, you know, we need to attack. And Anakin says to Captain Ackbar, well, no, if we attack now, we're going to be surrounded, and that's going to be trapped. And he says that Ackbar was going to say, okay. And then in Return of the Jedi, when Admiral Ackbar sees that he's about to be surrounded by the Sith, or excuse me, by the Empire, he goes, oh, it's a trap. You know, he's able to recognize that it's a trap. But Dave Filoni said that whole it got cut, that he wasn't able to do it because he thought it was too silly. But I wished he would have left it in, because that would have been great.
Yeah, some kind of nod to the infamous "it's a trap" would have been great.
Yes, like Anakin teaching him what a trap is, and then him realizing it, what it is, in Return of the Jedi. It was very, very funny. But yes, he did confirm that that is Captain Ackbar.
Cool.
He also confirmed that Kit Fisto is a screen stealer because he wants Plo Koon to be in the more. But we did get that's the reason we got Kit Fisto in that scene, because also he fits, because he's a Jedi that can fight underwater. But he was like, Kit Fisto, oh, you mean the screen stealer? And I thought that was pretty funny. He did confirm too that those are all new scuba clones. It's all new designed on the scuba clone. And they're more of a streamlined look to it than the kind of jet-packed scuba clone that we got. Also, the older scuba clone was a white and black motif. These new scuba clones are more grayish and white motif. He did show us some more clips where all of the armor that we're going to see in Season 4 is going to be the Phase 2 armor. And when he was asked about, you know, why he had upgraded the armor, he said he upgraded the armor because we have done 3 seasons. No one really knows how long the Clone Wars are. And Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka have all got upgrades. So it was time to upgrade the clone armor. He also said that Rex is the only one who doesn't like the armor. He doesn't like the upgraded armor. So Rex is using his old armor, and he's taking the new armor and welding new pieces onto his old armor. So Rex is going to have a unique armor in Season 4 only to Rex. And Captain Rex believes that the new armor is basically making the clones dispensable. And the new armor is making the clones dispensable, which he's kind of right, because as we see, when they become stormtroopers, they just get shot all the time. So Captain Rex has onto something. But he did mention that Captain Rex is going to have his own unique armor. And I like the fact that Rex is kind of questioning. He's basically saying that Rex is questioning, you know, orders and the Republic. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to him.
Very cool.
Very cool.
I don't know that it will necessarily get the Ahsoka and Rex run off together in Order 66, but very cool nonetheless.
They showed another clip where basically what they wanted to do was show the quote-unquote battle lines theme, where they had a bunch of troopers on the AT-RTs, and they were being dropped onto a planet called Umbara. And Umbara, we've never seen before. It's a new planet, and it's basically covered in darkness at all times. So they had a really cool scene where the drop ships are dropping off these clones, and they have to use lights and the red lights on the inside of the Clone Wars gunships, and dropping off the AT-RTs, and the clones are just kicking butt. And for those of you who know who the Umbaras are, we've seen them. You know, Senator Deechee was an Umbaran, as well as Sly Moore is an Umbaran. So basically, we are fighting on their world, which we've never seen before. And Mon Calamari, actually, we've never seen before. And that was one of the things he said, was that they had to build basically whole civilizations on Umbara and Mon Calamari. Men, they had to make the men, they had to make the women, they had to make warriors. They had to make the whole environment for these two different worlds. So he was pretty jazzed about that. And they look great. They look great. Basically, Umbara kind of looks like a fog world where it's a lot of fog. They use the lights of the gunships and the different weapons to their advantage, and the different shadows and stuff like that. So, I mean, that clip just looked great, and the clones were just kicking butt. And
cool.
Yeah, and about that point, D. Bradley Baker stood up in the crowd and basically took a bow for all of the clone, Filoni asked him to stand up and take a bow and, you know, gave him props for having all the clones. He does all the clone voices, but, you know, all the clones are individual, and that is very hard to pull off. So he took props for that, as he should. It was confirmed also that all the clones that have survived to this point, such as Fives, will be seen again in Season 4. So we'll look forward to that.
Hopefully that doesn't mean they're going to be seen again so that they can die.
Well, he did mention that. He did mention that that he's been killing off a lot of the clones, and that everybody is basically all the clones. You know, if you're a clone, you're basically anytime you can go, except Captain Wolf. He says he likes Captain Wolf.
So everybody else is dispensable
except Captain Wolf. He likes Captain Wolf. He says that, and he did give a reason why he keeps changing Captain Wolf, because that was a question. It's like, why does Captain Wolf keep changing? Why is his color one thing? Why does he have an eye patch? And he explained that he had taken the Captain Wolf, I guess that FX statue, the FX one that they came out with. He had taken a Captain Wolf figurine, let's say that, and started painting the helmet different. And he's noticed that the gray and white motif looked better than the old Captain Wolf motif, so he decided to change it. And he said, yes, he got everybody's little emails from the 501st when they told him how long it took for them to paint the helmet and stuff. But he said it was his show, and he could change anything he wanted to.
Isn't that pretty much his motto?
That was pretty cool. He's like, but it's my show. So, it's changing. And it looks better. So, that's what he said. And it does look better.
Now, I know we did see, or at least on StarWars.com, we saw the clip of the Water War, as they're calling it, which was the Mon Calamari fight. But we also saw a clip of Ahsoka and the up until now presumed dead Lux on some ice planet encountering the Death Watch. Did they show that one there?
They did show that clip. They did show that clip. And it starts off with Ahsoka waking up and her lightsabers are gone. And R2 is with her. And they're on a ship. And I'm not quite sure what ship it was. And Lux is standing outside. And Ahsoka goes to talk to Lux. And she asks Lux where my lightsabers are. And Lux kind of looks over his shoulder and says, you should have stayed in the ship. And then all the Mandalorians start dropping out of the sky and, you know, putting a bead on Ahsoka. So
yeah, and you notice that the lead one was a female.
The lead one was a female. And what was funny was Dave Filoni had a little beef about that. And not a beef so much as it was female, as the Mandalorian was female, because he wanted the Mandalorian to be female. He wanted Pre Vizsla's right-hand person to be female, and he wanted to show that Mandalorians weren't all the tough ones weren't all males. He wanted, you know, because in the expanded universe, apparently the female ones are pretty tough. They have to be tough. They almost have to be tougher than the males in order to survive in that culture, in that Mandalorian culture. So he said the only thing he didn't like was when she stood there, she had her hand on her hip. You know, and he was like, he fought that tooth and nail. He did not want the hand on her hip. And he says, that may come out. He says he's still fighting for that. So when we do see that show, we may not see her hand on the hip. And, you know, he says that will probably go. He says because he can't see a badass Mandalorian woman who is secondhand to Pre Vizsla, who's going to land like that with her hand on her hip. He says he just can't stand that. He did confirm that Jon Favreau was going to reprise his role as Pre Vizsla in Season 4. So cool. That was pretty cool.
And now the speculating begins as to whether it's Obi-Wan's girlfriend finally given in, and she's now part of the Death Watch.
He did not say anything about Satine. He didn't say anything about Satine. Didn't mention anything about Satine, but he did mention that the Death Watch was going to make another stop. But I thought it was pretty interesting. It's like, well, you know, these clips that they're showing us. Why is Ahsoka with Lux? You know, so that raised a lot of eyebrows. And it was a small clip too, so a lot more questions than answered.
Yeah, of course.
Then they did show the clip of the Dexter Jedi, and they told us who he was. They said that his name is General Krell, and he will be leading a bunch of clones in an episode, and he is very powerful and unconventional. And that's how they explained him. General Krell is the quote-unquote Dexter Jedi with the four arms that we saw. Another clip they showed us was C-3PO and R2-D2 was on a ship with Adi Gallia, who was fighting General Grievous. And basically they just showed the clip of the R2-D2 and C-3PO, how the dynamic duo is back together and they're running through the ship and, you know, they're dodging lasers and they're trying to get out through a ship, and they get into the shipping bay, and R2-D2 basically knocks another droid out of the way to jump into a Y-wing, and they take off into space. And so it kind of showed of the humor that is going to be coming back to season 4, and it was pretty funny. They showed us a clip of a space battle, and the space battle was one of the clones was named as Hardcase, because there's two clones that look like they have stolen two separatist ships of whoever they're fighting. They stole two ships, and the ships are controlled not by like a joystick controller, but it's more of like a controller like in Minority Report, where you kind of just put your hands out there and a bubble surrounds your hand, and you have all your controls out there in front of you where you're not really touching anything. And these are humanoid separatists. These are humanoid forces that have joined the separatists, which is a little different than what we've normally seen, because most of the time the separatists have been alien species. This is a humanoid species that have joined the separatists that we're fighting. So they showed a clip of two clones going after the supply ship of these humanoid separatists, and one clone is called out as Hardcase. So the other clone says, "Hardcase, don't get an itchy trigger finger," and then they head off into the supply ship. So that was pretty cool. They showed another clip. The last clip they showed us was that in season 4, Asajj Ventress has rejoined the Night Sisters and is rejoined their clan. And Dooku has sent some droids to go attack the Night Sisters on their planet of Dathomir. So that was pretty cool. I mean, it was just a bunch of battle droids fighting the Night Sisters that they showed a clip of. And it was very surprising. And before they showed the clip, Filoni says, "This is going to be a very surprising clip." And then all of a sudden we see a bunch of battle droids fighting the Night Sisters. I was like, wow, wow. So Dooku is not letting go of what happened. You know what I'm saying? And just a few other things that were confirmed in season 4. Filoni, this straight from Filoni's mouth, he said that we will see Savage Opress continue his journey towards his brother. And he named it Darth Maul, his brother. So it's Darth Maul, and it's his brother. So it's confirmed. And I was able to ask Mr. Filoni about the rule of two, because after the panel was over, I of course rushed up to the stage and shook his hand and thanked him. After I yelled out "Plo Cool" to get to recognize. He did sign my badge, and when he was signing my badge, I got to ask him about the rule too. I said, I asked him, in the Clone Wars, we have been introduced to such dark Jedi as Asajj Ventress and now Savage Opress. And we know that you just confirmed that Savage Opress is going to continue his journey to be trained by his brother Darth Maul. I asked him, is the rule of two broken now? Because we have these dark Jedi are using dark Jedi powers, you know, being trained. You know, is the rule of two being broken? And basically, from Filoni, he said the rule of two is not being broken because they are dark Jedi. They are not, quote unquote, Sith. So until a Sith Lord says you're a Sith, you're not a Sith. You're just a dark acolyte or a dark Jedi or a dark Force user. And so that is what Savage Opress is classified at. That is what Asajj Ventress is classified at. And apparently that is what Darth Maul is classified as now. Not a Sith apprentice anymore. He is just a dark user, a dark Force user.
So Darth Maul has been demoted.
Darth Maul has been demoted. He's no longer a Sith apprentice, you know? So that's going to bring us some questions, you know? Why is Darth Maul hiding? You know, is he, you know, will he use his brother to try to, you know, get the power that he craved, you know? So it's going to be interesting. One other big reveal that Dave Filoni said in the panel was, someone had asked him in the Q&A about Ahsoka. And Ahsoka is not in episode 3. She's not even mentioned in episode 3. Will Ahsoka's fate be addressed in the Clone Wars? Dave Filoni said Ahsoka's fate will be addressed in the Clone Wars animated series. So that got a lot of applause and oohs and ahs from the crowd. And even I was like, ooh, really? So he did say that her fate will be addressed in the Clone Wars series. So we got a lot of information out of that panel. A lot of information. I think partly to do because it was on a Thursday and it wasn't on Friday. And, you know, Filoni just generally seemed to be happy. And he seemed to want to give out as much information as possible. Because when they asked who the the shark species, which is the Karkadon, was, he looked over to his producer and he says, can I tell him? And they said, yep, go ahead and tell him. So he was trying to get as much information out as possible. And I think we got a lot of information to look, a lot of information in order to look forward to season 4.
Sounds like it should be a good season, especially if they keep up the quality of the goods episodes from season 3 and give us a little less of the senatorial garbage.
And the rendering. So let's get into the rendering panel.
Yes, let's.
So thank you, Arnie. I just want to thank you right now. I don't know if this will get cut out, but I really appreciate the rendering panel. It was not as boring as it was last year. Last year, the rendering panel was basically all about the water and how long it took them to make water and stuff like that. So they brought up water in this rendering panel, but this year it was how could they make it where they could fake it, fake the water, where they didn't want to have to make the water, they want to be able to fake the water. And he said they came up with ways to make it look like you're underwater. Basically, put all of your stars on their bellies and make the cameras act as if they're scuba diving and lots of bubbles. And he says that's how they faked the underwater sequences, and they said they look great, and they did look great. So right from the water, he went to two specific points that he was making about the rendering. One, he wanted to make a point about silhouettes, okay, and the shadowing and use of lighting. And he said that this season will be animated and rendered like no other cartoon, computer-generated image show out there. He said that when the sun is on the top of somebody's head, you will see the shadow under their nose, you know, and or you know, if so, or especially if there's a space battle and a star or an explosion is behind a clone, you will see the light on their ship and a shadow on that other side. I mean, they said that that the silhouettes and the lighting is jumping three levels in the next season. And I was absolutely amazed and at seeing some of the clips, you know, because it's on a big screen and stuff like that. It's not HD quality or anything, but they showed clips of Ahsoka's face and stuff like that, you know, to show the shadowing and stuff like that. And the other point he made was the backgrounds. He said the backgrounds, and we saw little previews of it in the last three or four episodes of season three, where we were able to see the bugs on the leaves and the bugs on the branches and stuff like that. You remember in the episode where Ahsoka meets Chewbacca, and we had mentioned that we were able to see the bugs, you know, crawl on the wood and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, Padawan Lost. It was when they were on Felucia. There were some amazing shots.
Amazing. Basically, every episode in season four is going to be like that, where they are spending so much detail on the background, and they basically showed us a clip of before and after of what the branch looked like and how they were going to use it before, and then what the branch looked like after they put all of the detail on it. And some of the detail they showed, like the clip they showed on the warring clip they showed on Senator Deechee's ward in Barra, where it's covered in fog, and the lighting they had to use. I mean, when they showed a bunch of light, when they showed the gunships dropping off using their lights, and their lights were shooting forward, their lights only penetrated so far in the fog. Like if you were driving in a regular car, your light only penetrates so far in the fog, and after that, you can't see. So it was stuff like that, you know, and then the backgrounds, and I mean, I think storytelling wise, it's going to be a great season because they're spending so much detail on how stuff looks that I just cannot see that them skipping on the story this year, like they have been accused of skipping on the story in previous seasons. And, it was great. I think that was one of the best panels, the best rendering panels I ever been to, because they really wanted to explain what they did and how they did it. And then basically they said they don't have the ILM powerhouse machines. They're not allowed to use those. Everything that they have to come up with, they have to create and roll up their sleeves. And basically the animators are working 24 hours a day. Anytime that they're having an idea or how to make something right or how to make something look a little bit different and faster. Filoni says that his you know, he's getting calls at all hours, you know, and he welcomes the calls, you know, for any new ideas. And they're really rolling up their sleeves. And he said they're working on season four 24 hours a day. And when asked why it was Battle Lines this year, he kind of made a joke that, you know, it was just for the explosions and stuff. But I think it was really because he didn't want to get called on, you know, these season titles like he has been called on before. You know, because you really can't go wrong with Battle Lines. You know, Battle Lines are being drawn, so. It was a nice panel.
Cool. Sounds like it.
Did we get a lot of information, I think?
I think so.
A huge amount of information from these two panels.
Lots of fun stuff to look forward to next season.
Can we talk about some of the toys now, Dan?
Yeah, we can talk about some of the toys. I'm sure a lot of this will turn up on next Swan, but hey, there was some Clone Wars stuff shown too, so let's talk about some of the toys.
Let's talk about specifically the Clone Wars toys like you wanted me to do, because I can go on a tangent. But specifically what I saw for Clone Wars was they had a 3¾-inch figure of Serapis. And Serapis is the bounty hunter that we saw in... Now, refresh my memory what the name of that episode was.
Wasn't it Bounty Hunters?
Maybe it was called Bounty Hunters. Maybe it was Bounty Hunters. But I think it was the Bounty Hunter episode. And Serapis, if you remember, he is the alien who basically has a souped-up battle droid suit, and he sits in the suit and controls it. And so they had that figure on display, and Serapis, the actual alien, is removable from the actual battle droid armor.
Nice.
So it's really cool. Yeah, he sits up in the armor, and you can put his little hands on the controls and everything, and you open the little top, and you can take him out. So yeah, so Serapis is totally removable. You can take him out of his shell. It's pretty cool. Then they had a kind of a mini rig, a new kind of mini rig, where it was a... It looked like, the way I can explain it, it looked like a Y-wing speeder, where it had the back of the Y-wing look to it, but the clone sat in the front facing backwards, and it fit two clones. It was really cool. It was a speeder slash Y-wing. And it's
it's described in the slide as a Y-wing bomber.
It's described as a slide as a Y-wing bomber, but it's about half the size, and it's kind of like a reconnaissance vehicle. Like it looked like a speeder to me, like a Y-wing speeder. That's how I could describe it.
Yeah, nice to see them kind of keeping with the return of the mini rigs and just original vehicles for that line.
They had a price point for that line, too. You want to know what it is?
Something horrible, I imagine.
$16.
Woo!
Yes. And I noticed that a lot of the prices, it looked like the mini rigs were about $16. So, I mean, a mini rig for $20, I mean, you can't beat that. When what they were going for battle packs and mini rigs were $25 at least at Walmart. You know, you could pay it up to $27 at Toys R Us. So to see these price points now, what they had them at is $16. I think that was pretty good. I was pretty excited about that. So the other toy, since you asked, Dan, that they showed us, that...
Did I ask? I don't remember asking that.
Go ahead and ask me.
What am I asking you?
What the big major toy was.
It's still the attack shuttle, isn't it?
No. Big major toy that
The Mando.
Is the Mandalorian attack cruiser. I'm not sure what the name was called, but it was a Mandalorian. It's the Mandalorian
gunship.
It's a Mandalorian gunship that was shown in the Death Watch episodes, and it's the ship that has kind of like that RoboCop paint scheme to it, where the wings fold up and it looks kind of like a Mando death, the Mandalorian death symbol, you know, when the wings go up. It is totally cool. It's about the size of the an attack of the Republic gunship, you know, about that size. Maybe a little bit bigger than an AT-ST with wings kind of size. So it's not as big as the BMF, as the big Millennium Falcon, and obviously not as big as the AT-AT, but it's bigger than a gunship. And it was cool. It was very cool. I didn't get a chance to touch it, but I saw it, and it was pretty cool.
Cool. Now, they also did let us know about a couple cool exclusives, Clone Wars-wise, that are coming, along with the expected usual DVD and figure assortments that Walmart usually gets. Walmart's getting a Clone Wars Ultimate Gift Set 5-pack.
Yes.
So, nice to see them actually adding a figure to the normal number of figures in a battle pack instead of taking away, for at least that one.
And then they had the... Two clone with the Assassin Spider Droid set.
Yep, from that, Voyage of Temptation.
Yes, which was pretty awesome, you know, to get a repainted Spider Droid. You know, they really don't let us touch them. You can only see it, so you can't really see what articulation the Spider Droid has. But I did not own the older Spider Droid, so I would not be able to tell you if the articulation has changed. But it did look like the Spider Droid was redesigned a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, this is a different Spider Droid than any that they've done before.
Yes, right.
So I mean, this is it's nothing like the Bomar Monk that they gave away, or
no, it's
not like the
like
other. This is a completely different.
It was completely different, but you know, you can't touch it. They have everything behind glass. You know, if they were able to touch it, and you can see just how many points of articulation it was, and just to see the movements and stuff. But you know,
Baron, I think that means you didn't ask right, because they were ready to open up the cases and let us touch them in C5.
Really?
No, I'm lying.
Oh, I was gonna say, brother, because I should have bought a lottery ticket this weekend, because I could not lose at this con. I was using my force pushes through the crowds. I was using my Jedi mind tricks to get what I needed to get. I mean, it was just amazing, man. I could not lose. So this was one of the best. First of all, it was very crowded, and I went on. We're recording on Sunday. I have just gotten back. You know, Sunday's Kids Day, so that was the day that you could usually basically go into any of the panels. There was a lot of people there. A lot of people worked on their costumes, you know, very hard. I mean, it was a lot of. On Friday, there was a lot more Star Wars costumes, but. It was a great con. I had a great experience, man. I met, you know, Cozy, and I got to hang out with Arnie and Marjorie, and I met Reverend Strone. You know, it was pretty cool. So, Dan, another thing, you know, talking about Reverend Strone and how nice of a guy he is, he was able to let me have, I was able to get a Weta, The Collector's Guide 2011 edition book. It is brand new. It is written by our very own Reverend Strone, Daniel, and with an introduction by Richard Taylor. And what the good Rev did was he got this book for me, and he got people to sign, everybody who's involved with the book. And it's got his signature in it. And it's got another couple other people's signature in it with a couple drawings that I do not recognize. And it's basically the Weta collector's guide of all of the things that Weta has made. All of the figures from the Lord of the Rings and the statues from the Lord of the Rings, from the Muppets, all the little helmets they made. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, the colors are and the pictures just fly off these pages. And the book is about 300 pages long. It has some District 9 stuff in here. It has some pictures of the guys working on it. And we are going to give this away to a lucky listener. What do you think about that, Dan?
I think that'll be great.
I was very tempted just not to even say anything to you, Dan. Just go ahead and keep this book, because this book is absolutely amazing. I've never seen anything like this, and I've never had anything from a personal friend that has created something like this. You know what I'm saying? So this is a very special book, and I just want to thank you right now, Rev. You know, for this book, it's great, and it's going to go out to a lucky listener.
So what we're going to do is we will put a thread entitled.
I didn't know Doogie Howser had an accent.
Those of you who have met our good friend Reverend Strone know exactly what Baron's talking about.
Yes, that is so a big thank you, Rev. That is a big thank you for me, man.
So this thread is going to run, and then in 2 weeks when episode 8 is released, our winner will be announced. So remember, you do have to keep listening to our summer programming to find out if you have won this fine collection of artwork from the Weta Studios, graciously donated by our own Reverend Strone.
So good luck to anyone out there who wins this book, because this is an absolutely fabulous book, and it is signed by a friend of all of ours. You know, and you can't get anything better than that, than something that's quality, it's made by your friend. So, Dan, that is all the news from San Diego Comic-Con. I hope that I got some answers out there for some questions that have been lingering around. I mean, I've personally wanted to know that was Akbar, and now that we know it's Akbar, we can kind of look to see of how he acts, you know? And I think we got a lot of answers, in these panels, and I was very happy. I was very happy to sit in these panels and get to see all this new footage and listen to Dave talk about what he didn't like on the show and what he wanted to change and what he's fighting for. And he understands. Basically, what I got from it is that he understands what the fan wants, because he did mention, he specifically mentioned that before he got his job at Lucasfilm, he remembered what it was like, and he still remembers what it's like to wait in line to see someone at a panel and not be downstairs buying your favorite toy. And he says that he wanted to give us the goods. And I think he did what he said he did. He gave us cool. the goods.
All right. Well, Baron, thank you very much for taking the time from buying your favorite toys to sit through those panels.
Oh, you're welcome.
And be sure to tune in again in 2 weeks to hear us continue our coverage of the Clone Wars micro-series and to see just who it is, which lucky listener will be the winner of our of the Weta book. So thank you very much, Baron.
You're welcome, Rockstar. And I just want to clarify, they just have to, when we make the thread, they just have to post anything in the thread, right? And they automatically enter, but only one post at a time, and you have the official rules down there, and blah, 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 blah.
So thanks again, Barrett, for suffering through Comic-Con for us to bring us this information. And we will see everyone back in 2 weeks for episode 8 of our Clone Wars micro-series coverage.
You're very welcome, Rockstar. It was my pleasure, and I will talk to everybody on the forum soon.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Barrent, and Nathan P. Butler of StarWarsFanWorks.com. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademark Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated, copyright 2011, all rights reserved.